Thank you for tuning in to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible on KEQX 89.7. The views, opinions, beliefs, and content expressed on the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Moore Expedition and its agents. The views, opinions, and beliefs expressed may not be the same as those on KEQX or any of its agents. This show is brought to you by the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, and the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs.
Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris. I am the preacher for the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, and I'm here with my partner, Tommy Moore, from the Hamilton, Park Heights Hamilton Church, and he is the gospel preacher there. We have been studying some wonderful stuff here lately concerning the inspiration of the Bible and the authority that is given to us on the Bible or in the Bible, and we're going to deviate from that just a little bit today. And before we get very further into this, we're going to give you a phone number because this is a live call-in talk show, and the number to call is 254-445-2473. If you have a comment, if you'd like to get in on this discussion, if you have something that you're opposed to what we're saying, our motto has always been, you have heard what men have had to say, now let's hear what the Bible has got to say. There has been some very disturbing information come across the news for the last couple of weeks, and especially last week. Last week was the anniversary of Roe versus Wade, and we'll get into that in just a moment. That was that landmark case decision where abortion was fully and finally legalized on demand in the United States of America back in January 22nd, 1973. So the anniversary of that was last Saturday, was the 38th anniversary of Roe versus Wade, and we're going to get into a little discussion on abortion. Now, we've talked about abortion on this program before, and we don't mind discussing issues that are controversial, and this definitely is one of the most controversial. Probably the utmost moral controversial subject that we will find to discuss on this program or anywhere else. It is a moral issue that we have here in this country, and it is the single most important moral issue that we can talk about today.
You know, David, this is not a political issue.
No.
It is a moral issue, and we need to always put that in the forefront of our discussion with regard to abortion. It's not political. It's moral.
Absolutely. And I'm glad that you said that. I'm glad that you brought that in, Tom, because it is a moral, very, very moral issue. And we're going to get into this as we go. The number again is 254-445-2473. Now, what prompted us to change directions today was what happened last week, last Wednesday, in Pennsylvania. In Pennsylvania, there was a man by the name of Dr. Kermit Gosnell, and he was charged with murder. He stands accused of delivering 7 babies and then using the scissors to kill each one of them. He was also charged with murder in the death of a woman who suffered an overdose of painkillers while awaiting an abortion. Now, his clinic catered mainly to the West Philadelphia poor minority, And we have a 281-page grand jury report that was released Wednesday. And I want to read just a little bit of this grand jury report, Tommy, so that people can understand what we're talking about, that this gruesome happening, that this is the one that was just caught. This is not the only one in the United States that is going on with this kind of thing, but this 281-page grand jury report tells us about this Gosnell's Women's Medical Society. And the report introduction lays out the criminal enterprise that claimed the lives of untold numbers of babies and mothers. And I want to quote this part. This case is about a doctor who killed babies and endangered women. This is the grand jury report. What we mean is that he regularly and illegally delivered live, viable babies in their third trimester of pregnancy, and then he murdered these newborn babies by severing their spinal cords with scissors. The medical practice by which he carried out this business was a filthy fraud in which he overdosed his patients with dangerous drugs, spread venereal disease among them with infected instruments, perforated their wombs and their bowels, and on at least two occasions caused their death. Over the years, many people came to know that something was going on here, but no one put a stop to it, end quote. Now, that comes from that 281-page grand jury report, Tommy. That is how horrible this situation is.
That's just horrifying. I don't know how anybody could hear something like that and not come away with tears in their eyes, mm-hmm. seeing the atrocities that are going on in our day and in connection with the idea of abortion.
Right.
It's just horrible. You know, there are some instances where they were looking into the situation, and this was something that's been going on for a good long while, where mm-hmm. Entities were knowing this was happening and doing nothing about it. For example, the Pennsylvania Department of Health knew of the clinic's violation dating back decades, but they did nothing about it. The Pennsylvania Department of State was repeatedly confronted with evidence about Cosnell, including the clinic's unclean, unsterile conditioned, unlicensed workers, unsupervised sedation, the underage abortion patients, and over-prescribed of pain pills with high resale value in the streets, but repeatedly nothing was done. Even the Philadelphia Department of Public Health officials who regularly visited this place did nothing. And nearby hospital officials who treated some of the pregnant mothers who suffered grave complications from Cosnell's butchery did nothing. An unnamed evaluator of the National Abortion Federation, the leading association of abortion providers that's supposed to uphold strict health and legal standards, determined that Cosnell's Chamber of Horrors was the worst abortion clinic she had ever inspected, but did nothing.
All because this was in the name of abortion and not in the name of treating women. Now, when we start talking about abortion, Tommy, we've got to look at the terminology that is being used. And the terminology that is being used by pro-abortionists or by these so-called pro-choicers, the terminology is key. Because they want to try to dehumanize and depersonalize everything and everyone. Now, I want to make one note here about this indictment on this man. I do believe, by reading the reports that came out of this, that it wasn't necessarily that he was killing the babies that really got these people upset that finally turned him in. It was what he was doing with these babies after he killed them. And we are told that in his clinic, he had a gruesome habit of cutting off dead babies' feet and saving them in rows and rows of specimen jars that he called research. And that's when he got turned in. It wasn't because he was killing babies. Everyone knew that he was killing babies. That's what that clinic was supposed to do. He was killing them illegally. Now, this terminology is horrible. Some of the terminology that these Planned Parenthood propagandists refer to unborn life as fetal and urinal or uterine material. And then he calls, Gosnell referred to his deadly trade as, quote, ensuring fetal demise. And then another word there, or a phrase that was used for the bone-crushing partial birth abortion procedure was, quote, intact dilation and evacuation and intrauterine cranial decompression. I don't know how much more creative you could get with the use of words. This is, every bit of it is another way of calling the death of a baby. Now, when he was snipping that spinal cord on those babies, the fact of the matter was that he was severing their spinal cord with scissors, and he called the procedure snipping. Doesn't that sound so much better?
Well, you know, and The abortionists and counselors are infamous for telling terrified mothers, you know, things like, well, it's not a baby.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a blob, a club of cells, a mass of tissue. You know, they're trying to make things not look so bad by changing terms.
Right.
You know, and we have always done that in America, it seems like, sadly. Mm-hmm. You know, for example, we talked about homosexuality. People want to change the term to call it gay,
mm-hmm.
so it won't sound quite as bad. Or, you know, they've taken to where stealing a person's vehicle. They have now called it the unauthorized use of a vehicle, trying to make things not seem quite so bad. They're trying to hide. They're trying to deceive. And isn't that what Satan's always tried to do?
He is the master of deception.
Right.
He is the master. No marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. It is no great thing if his ministers be transformed into ministers of righteousness. Now, let's get back to what the issue is all about here. The issue is abortion. What we have just described to our audience here, Tom, is the gruesome aspect of just how far this thing has progressed since its inception in 1973. Now, abortion was being done before 1973, but it was made fully and legally upon demand in January 22nd, 1973. Now, what that was all about, that was the Roe versus Wade decision that was given to us by the Supreme Court of the United States, and in that decision, they ruled that the 14th Amendment of the United States, that word person in the 14th Amendment to the Constitution of the United States did not include the unborn. Did not include. So what is that 14th Amendment for? It is to prohibit slavery, and it states there in that 14th Amendment that no one shall be deprived of life, liberty, and property without the due process of law. But the Supreme Court on that day said that unborn babies were not persons. And since that day, 38 years ago, the womb of a mother has been the most dangerous place for a child in the United States of America to be.
You know, I heard Mike Huckabee say today that Abraham Lincoln said that if slavery is not wrong, then nothing is wrong.
Hmm.
Well, if abortion is not wrong, David, nothing is wrong.
You are right about that.
That just shows you how horrible and disgusting and murderous and evil this issue is. And we as God's people need to stand up and fight, because we're just allowing this to go on by keeping silent.
Yes.
And we need to let our public officials know how we feel about this. It's not, again, it's not a political issue. It's a moral issue. And we need to stand up for what is right and true in this regard. And just because the laws of the land says something is right, it doesn't make it right. Because didn't the Bible say in Acts chapter 15, verse 29, or chapter 5 and verse 29, that we ought to obey God rather than man?
Yes, it does. So, there is a law that cannot be superseded by man.
Exactly.
And
right.
I don't care how many black robes you put up there. I don't care whether you call them conservative or liberal. I don't care what you call those people in the robes that are being the judges of our land. They are the interpreters of our day of a constitutional law that we have. And just because they said that an unborn child is not a person does not make that child not a person. We're going to get into that in just a little bit. We're going to see what the Bible has to say about the personhood of that child, because the personhood is a very, very important thing, and we need to understand that. Now, for those of you who are out there listening to this, if you have an opinion about abortion, if you want to be for it, as a matter of fact, I was talking to a woman not too long ago, right before the presidential election, and I was explaining to her that I would not vote for a man who was trying to promote abortion or who was not against it. I wouldn't even vote for a man who wouldn't commit on it one way or the other. I want a commitment from an individual that says, I will not support it. It is wrong. I will fight against it. And she says, well, that's exactly why I'm voting for him.
You know, isn't it a shame, David, that our government now is allowing the murderers of unborn children because it's simply a not kind of a convenient time for the parents. You know, it's going to be a hardship on them. It's not convenient for them, and so we allowing then the murder of these children.
Right.
And as a result of that, what we're doing is saying that one person is more important than another person. You know, but we're all created equal in God's sight, aren't we?
Absolutely.
Whether or not you're a child in a womb, or whether or not you're an 80-year-old person, or whether or not you're a mother or a grandmother, we're all equal in God's sight, and we're taking that away with this issue of abortion.
We are. No, most definitely we are. What we see here, and when we look into our Bibles, we're going to see, let's just see and talk just a little bit about what the Bible has to say about these unborn persons that we read about. And I want us to start in Matthew chapter 1 for those of you who are out there that will take your Bibles, if you will. I want you to look at Matthew chapter 1, and I want you to look at verse number... where is it? I've lost it. It's Matthew chapter 1, and I believe it's verse number 18. I'm pretty sure that's right. What we have here, it says now when, or is this Luke chapter 1, verse 35? Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Now notice that word right there, the Greek word, and I'm certainly not a scholar on Greek, but that word that is used there to describe that child that is in the womb of Mary, as the Greek word is briphos. And we need to ask this question right now. And you know, the depersonalization of that person, what we would have doctors call it and people call it today, is a fetus. And they would call it a fetus, not him or not her, but it a fetus. Now, and they like to say, well, now it's just a mass of tissue. Well, I've got this question for anybody that's listening here. Was Mary carrying tissue, or was she with child? And then this question, was there ever a time when Jesus the Christ was neither God nor man, but just a mass of tissue? Now, Luke chapter 1, in verse 41, we see that word used again, briphos. Have you got that one there?
That's right. It says there, and it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe, that's the Greek word, briphos, leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, what's interesting about that, David, that word briphos there, describing this babe that is in the womb of Mary, that same Greek word is used over in Luke chapter 2 and verse 12 to describe Jesus in this way. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe, that's briphos, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Now, isn't that significant that the Bible uses the very same Greek word to describe a child in the womb and one that has already been born? That tells us that God says that they are both a person, both a babe, and not some tissue, not some blob of flesh, but an actual child.
Well, the only difference in that child in the manger and the child in the womb is age and location.
That's right.
That is the only reason. And we can even take that a little bit further. What does the Bible have to say? And in Acts chapter 7 and verse 19, in that narrative that Stephen was giving there concerning the Egyptian king killing the Israelite babies, he said, that same dealt subtly with our kindred, and evil entreated our fathers, so that they cast out their young children to the end that they might not live. That word young children, that phrase young child, again, briphos is used there. That is what abortion is. It is the killing of young children. Also, again, we find in the 139th Psalm that David refers to himself as a person in his mother's womb. Jeremiah chapter 1 in verse 5, we see it again. God himself, he says, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. Before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you. So from conception, what we have here is a person uniquely different from his mother or his father a human being, a person in that womb. That's what the Bible teaches.
That's right. You know, and David, as we face this challenging issue of abortion, it's important for us to have our core beliefs right in this issue. You know, Jeremiah said in long ago, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. And so as we look at this issue of abortion and whether or not it is right or wrong, or whether or not the child inside the womb is a fetus or a piece of flesh or actual human being, it doesn't matter what everybody else says. What matters is what the world, what the Word of God says about it. And we need to have our thoughts and our beliefs guided by God's Word in this situation. And we need to be careful that we think clearly about these things. Are we making the right choices? We must use our core beliefs to think clearly when we're making these moral decisions. And again, God's Word has to be our guide in this issue, not man, but God.
Right. And this is where man has tried to really deceive and twist this thing around. They call the baby a fetus. They call that mass of tissue there not a human being, not a person, not anything, but just the product of conception. And they keep using this kind of terminology to depersonalize and dehumanize that baby that is in the womb. Now, we like to call it a baby. We like to call he or she a baby. But actually, that is a human being, a person in the womb. Now, we might ought to just stop right here for just a second and before we go on with this abortion and recognize the fact that there may be some women out there listening who have had an abortion, who have been deceived into believing that abortion is just another way to consider birth control. And what you need to understand, for those that are sorrowful that they have done it, we want you to know that you can be forgiven of any sin by the grace and the mercy of God if one will just repent and come in humble obedience and submit his will to the truth and the will of God. And then God can wash away those sins through your submission. You can be relieved of that burden of guilt, and you can have peace once again with God. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12 guarantees it. He says, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sin and their iniquity will I remember no more. But now, for those individuals who would promote this, for those individuals who would defend this, for those individuals who would destroy children, we need to fight, and I mean fight as Christians, against that which is evil and uphold that which is good. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11, Tommy, tells us that we must not just turn a blind eye. That's not good enough. Ephesians 5 and verse 11 says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. That means we can't just stand by idly and say, well, I didn't see it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see it.
You know, the atrocities involved in the abortion ought to awaken us a little bit. You know, a lot of the things that are going on with regard to abortion is because we're letting our emotions get in involved instead of our right thinking. You know, we make bad choices many times because of our emotions and our passions. They take place instead of having a clear and careful thinking. We allow, I'm not ready for this child. You know, I can't handle this child. And so we don't think of it in terms of what God says regarding a child. It's a child that you're killing here. It's not just a piece of flesh. And we need to think clearly and soberly about what really we are doing here when a person is committing an abortion. David, they're killing a baby.
That's right. That is correct. By framing, and this terminology again is key, and we've already seen how creative they can be with this terminology. When they're talking about killing the babies, they make it sound just like a technical term that you're going to find in a clinic. But by framing the terminology in terms of a woman's choice and the freedom to choose and a woman's right, and shouldn't a woman have the right to plan her family, and the government shouldn't make a woman have a child against her will, and if a woman wants to have an abortion, it's nobody's business but hers. By framing it like that, they have diverted the attention from what is the real issue and the real question here. When does life begin? And if life begins at conception, as the Bible says it does, then does a woman have a right to kill that baby? Is it the taking of a human life to kill that baby?
It is.
And if it is the taking of a human life, and we have the right to do it, according to them, when do we have the right to do it? At what point in this pregnancy do we have the right to do it? And why? Mm-hmm. Why, pray tell, do we have the right to take life of the innocent?
You know, David, if it is right to commit an abortion at 1 month pregnancy, then it's right at 4 months, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Then it's right at 8 months.
Yes.
Then it's right as the child leaves the womb.
Right.
And it's right when they're a 2-year-old. It's right when they're a 14-year-old.
Sure.
You see, if it's a right to kill a child in the womb, then it's right to kill a child anytime.
Right.
We don't realize the consequences of our thinking here. When they start saying that it's all right to murder a child in the womb, well, it's all right to murder him anytime. If we're going to be consistent, logically thinking, and you know, it's proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that that child, we've already shown it from the Word of God that it is a human being in there. But you know, it's also shown medically that that is a womb. You know, we have lots of doctors showing us and telling us that that is an actual womb. As a matter of fact, one of the things that they are told to do with regard to a doctor, their International Code of Medical Ethics states this, David. A doctor must always bear in mind the importance of preserving human life from the time of conception until death. That is the International Code of Medical Ethics. That tells us, David, that it is never right to take a life of a child, whether it be in the womb or outside the womb.
Well, what we have done in this country, through our complacency and through getting our priorities all messed up, we have put people in places of leadership to interpret our Constitution, to try to interpret law, and we have put people in places of leadership who have no regard for the unborn whatsoever. I have absolutely no regard. Do you realize that we have killed over 50 million children since 1973? Since January 22nd, 1973, we have killed over 50 million. Now, just to give you an idea of how many 50 million is, if you went to the Vietnam War Memorial in Washington, D.C., where there are 56,000 names on there of Vietnam's veterans that were killed in the line of duty, if you went there, you could fill that war memorial wall not 100 times, not 500 times, but over 1,000 times with the killing of all of these innocent little babies that we have killed in the name of a woman's choice and in the name of legality through the Supreme Court.
Mm. You know, one of the arguments that is used sometimes for abortion is the protection of the mother.
Mm-hmm.
I find it interesting, David, that Dr. C. Everett Koop, the U.S. Surgeon General, has said this, and I quote, "Protection of the life of the mother as an excuse for an abortion is a smokescreen. In my 36 years of pediatric surgery, I have never known of one instance where the child had to be aborted to save the mother's life. If toward the end of the pregnancy complications arise that threaten the mother's health, the doctor will either induce labor or perform a cesarean section. His intention is to save the life of both the mother and the baby. The baby's life is never willfully destroyed because the mother's life is in danger. That is an indictment on all these people who try to use the argument to say that it's all right to abort in some cases. You know, that's situation ethics, where they say it is right sometimes to do something wrong that good may prevail. But the Surgeon General says that's just a smokescreen.
It's just a smokescreen.
Well, we're up against our timeout here, and we're going to take a break. And be sure that you think about some questions or comments you might have, and call us at 254-445-2473 on the other side of the break.
Brethren, we have met to worship.
Friends, this message is brought to you by the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. We do not claim to be a perfect church, but we strive to be a church sound in doctrine, active in good works, and united in the bond of peace. At Park Heights, we believe the Bible is the inspired Word of God. Therefore, we insist upon Bible authority for everything that we teach and practice. We believe that we ought to teach what people were taught in the first century, believe what they were taught to believe, and do what they were taught to do. At Park Heights, we will never intentionally do or say anything that would make you feel uncomfortable. We will not ask you to believe anything unless we can give you Bible authority for it. The Park Heights Church of Christ would like to welcome you to come to our worship service with us each Sunday. We have Bible study Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Our worship times begin each Sunday at 10:25 a.m. and also at 6 p.m. We also have Bible study for all ages each Wednesday at 7 p.m. And at the Park Heights Church of Christ, we stand in the old paths and speak the truth in love.
Someday when my last line is written.
Perhaps you've been on a path or road that leads to nowhere. Maybe you have been down that path, and perhaps you feel like you're on that path right now. But you don't have to be. We need to be walking on the old paths and the narrow way of Christ so as not to end up in a knothole of destruction. The path that leads to nowhere. Friends, make the level path of thy feet, and let thy ways be established. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 26. Walk in the ways of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice, and a highway shall be there, and a way it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for the redeemed, the wayfaring men. Yea, fools shall not err therein. I'm David Harris from the Hillcrest Church of Christ, and I invite you to worship with us every Sunday morning. Bible classes beginning at 9:30, worship services at 10:30, and midweek Bible classes at 7 p.m. Please make plans to attend and worship with us.
And welcome back to the Harrison Moore Expedition of the Bible. We have been talking about abortion this morning, or this afternoon, this evening. And remember that we want you to call in, and if you have any questions or comments at 254-445-2473, or if you prefer, you can email us at keqx@rocketmail.com. We talked about here how that abortion is evil, how it is the taking of a life. And one of the things that we need to realize that whenever sin enters in to a situation, it progressively gets worse and worse and worse. And when you draw a line for a child, if you don't hold them to the line, they're going to keep stretching the line. They're going to keep trying to push the line and keep pushing the line. And David, that's what we're finding happening with regard to abortion also. We're talking about abortion. They were talking about going into the woman and aborting the child inside the womb.
Mm-hmm.
But now they have gone to where they're not, now they're being involved this what's called the partial birth abortions. Well, tell us a little bit about that, David.
Well, in partial birth abortion, what really there is nothing more demonstrative of the insanity of abortion than partial birth abortion. And now before I get into this, we've got a phone call. Caller, if you will give us your name and your comments or your question, we would be glad to entertain it.
Yeah, this is Barry. I would like for y'all to look at Hosea chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, also 6 through 10, and then it's reiterated in Romans chapter 1, starting at starting in verse, I believe it's 28.
Uh-huh.
And on to the rest of that chapter, chapter 1, it very well parallels, and the whole thing about this is a lack of knowledge of God, and so man institutes his own ideas into it. And I'd like to hang up and let y'all comment on that, if you would, please.
Okay. And just thank you for the call, Barry. And we're going to get to this along with 2 Kings chapter 21 that you're mentioning here. We will get to that in just a moment. We appreciate you bringing that to our attention. We're going to make sure that we get to that before this program is over today. I want to, right now, just, if I may, continue with the explanation of partial birth abortion. Now, partial birth abortion is when they can deliver the baby, even a full-term baby, deliver the baby, turn him around, deliver him, except bring everything out of the birth canal except for the head of the child. And at that point, the doctor will take a sharp instrument, usually scissors, and they will make an incision at the base of that child's head, and they will either cut his spinal cord or they will insert another vacuum in there, and they will extract the little baby's brains so that when they bring him out, he was dead while he was in, quote, the womb. Now, that is the insanity of partial birth abortion. Now, just a side note to that, all of this cry about freedom of choice of women, freedom to choose, freedom to do all of this, these individuals that are promoting this abortion, they are not good on freedom. This is something that they don't want us to know. And in 1995, there was a piece of legislation that was introduced into Congress to ban this horrible procedure called partial birth abortion, just like you alluded to just a moment ago. This abortion just gets worse and worse and worse. And Patricia Schroeder, a then Congresswoman, Patricia Schroeder, moved to prohibit the showing of these technically graphic and accurate graphics of this procedure. She didn't want anybody to see them. She didn't want anybody to know them. Now, what we see here in this Kermit Gosnell is he just took it one step further. He just went ahead and delivered these little babies and then cut their spinal cord, and he called it snipping so it would sound better. He did this knowing that it was wrong, but using what he considered to be practicality, wouldn't it be more practical to do this where I could see what I was doing rather than to try to do it when I couldn't see what I was doing?
You know, it's just horrible. I just can't imagine the evils involved in such a thing as this. You know, and when they're talking about the abortions, the partial birth abortions, the abortion, David, where's it all going to stop? You know, where's it going to stop? Are we now going to be able to bring in our three-year-olds that's giving us trouble and causing a lot of difficulty in our life, and we really don't want them after all? They turned out to be a little bit different than we wanted. We wanted a blonde-haired boy. He turned out to be redhead. Mm-hmm. We don't really want him. Let's take him and abort him. You know, what's the difference?
There is no difference.
What is the difference between aborting a baby inside the womb or partially aborting or a partial abortion or, as this fellow in Pennsylvania did, all the way out and aborting them and then aborting a 3-year-old or a 10-year-old or a 14-year-old? Where will the madness end?
Well, it won't end unless we stop it.
Right.
And we have a voice, and there is a horrible madness that is associated with this. We're going to get to some more scripture here in just a moment, but I what is the sanctity of human life? You see, this partial birth abortion, that is just absolutely insane. To think that it would be okay to pull that baby partially the way out of the womb, out of the birth canal, and kill that baby there, and it would be legal. And according to our Supreme Court justices, that would be legal. But let's just talk about the sanctity of human life here just for a moment. What is it that makes you a person? What is it that gives you worth? Now, let's just talk about it. And we're talking about a person as being that also of a baby. Is it whether or not you have passed completely through the birth canal? Does it have something to do with your location in relation to the womb? Or is it whether or not you are wanted, Tommy? because I want us to look at just a few laws, crazy laws that we have in this United States of America. In California, for instance, the Supreme Court ruled in California, the Supreme Court of California ruled that the killing of a fetus, and the word fetus there again is used to dehumanize and depersonalize, the killing of a fetus during the commission of a felony may be considered to be first-degree murder. But the court was very careful to point out and to exclude abortion. Ohio has another law that you can be charged with a homicide if you are responsible for killing an unborn child, because the Ohio law prohibits killing the unborn baby except for abortion. Now think about this for just a moment. The difference is in abortion, the woman doesn't want to have the baby. That means that whether or not an unborn child is considered to be a person whose killing would be murder is determined by whether or not the mother wants the baby. Now, are we willing to accept the implications of that belief, that whether or not you are a human being is dependent upon whether or not somebody else wants you around?
I know a lot of parents out there don't want their kids around. You know, my child is not going to be as good in sports as I wanted him, so I don't really want him around. You know, where does it stop? Where does it all stop? You know, when you think about Cosnell and the issue there in Philadelphia, when this issue came up, the left-wing journalists and activists, they rushed to explain that these abortion atrocities were ignored for decades because it's not really about abortion. What they said is a Time magazine writer argued that the Philadelphia horror was about poverty, not Roe v. Wade. A University of Minnesota president declared this is not about abortion. But the grand jury itself pointed out that loosened oversight of abortion clinics enacted under pro-choice former GOP Governor Tom Ridge enabled Cosnell's criminal enterprise and led to the heartless execution of hundreds of babies. Now, the mass murderer here, he got a pass, David, because they expanding the access, they were trying to appease the abortion lobbyist.
Freedom of choice, woman's rights.
That's right. It has nothing to do with the child. It has everything to do with what you want, whether or not you think the baby is
what you want.
Yeah, should live or not.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, we get back to the Bible says that every human being is important. Because haven't we all, according to Genesis chapter 1, been created in the image of God?
That's what gives us worth.
That's right. And we're important. Every one of us is a living soul, whether or not you're in the womb or outside of the womb. Whether or not the child inside looks like it might be retarded, does that give us the right to abort the child? Some would say yes, but the Bible says no because they're a human being. And we've got to realize the importance of life, and what the laws of the land says has not one bit of weight in this issue. It's a moral issue. God says it's murder, and that's what it is.
Well, we cannot call ourselves Christians, Tommy, and believe that God gives a woman the moral right to choose to kill her unborn child. Now, it's just that simple. We cannot call ourselves Christians and believe that. That God would give a woman the moral right. And we're talking about morality here. Now, I don't understand where the president of our United States is coming from when he talks about morals. Because, by the way, he said concerning his own two daughters, he said that it would be punishment to cause them to have a baby. He says, quote, "I am going to teach them, first of all, about values and morals. But if they make a mistake, I don't want them punished with a baby." Now, what is he saying there? If they make a mistake, I'm going to have them have an abortion. And I'm going to teach them about values. I'm going to teach them about morals. What is he saying here? This is the leader of the United States of America coming out with a statement like that. You see, it's not a woman's choice. It is not a woman's right. That which is in the womb is a person. It is wrong to kill the person, and we cannot believe as Christians that God has given a woman a moral right to choose her kill to kill her unborn child.
Hosea said in Hosea chapter 4, beginning verse 1, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing," we might insert abortion, "and stealing and committing adultery, they break out, and blood toucheth blood." David, that means evil upon evil.
Mm-hmm.
Abortion, partial birth abortion, and then the Philadelphia atrocity. Evil on top of evil. "Therefore shall the land mourn, and every one that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of the heaven. Yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away." He drops down and says in verse 6, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge," he says, "I will also reject thee. Thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of God. I will forget thy children." In verse 10 it says, "For they shall eat and have not enough. They shall commit whoredom and shall not increase, because they have left off to take heed to the Lord." David, what's going to happen to us as America if we keep on involving ourselves in the atrocities like this? What's going to happen to America? What's going to happen to our children's world that they're looking forward to if we keep on involving ourselves in this atrocity? David, I believe today God has a controversy with us.
There is no doubt. I have a controversy with the people of this land. If we continue in this same vein, we are going to lose the grace which with we have been so blessed in this country, and the merciful blessings of our God in this country, if we continue to shed innocent blood. Now, there's another passage of Scripture that we can read in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 and 17. There's seven things that God hates, and one of those things is hands that shed innocent blood. There is no more innocent person in this world than an unborn child. You can't get them any more innocent than that, Tom.
That's right. Now, are we going to think clearly about this issue, or are we going to allow our emotions to cloud the issue? You know, we are all appalled at the passage in Exodus where Pharaoh killed all of those children,
mm-hmm.
aren't we? We
Absolutely.
Think that's a horrible situation. We're abhorred by Menahem, who ripped out the open pregnant women, ripped them open, letting the baby fall out on the ground. We're abhorred by that in 2 Kings 15 and verse 16. We're abhorred by the fact that Herod killed innocent babies. We're abhorred by these things. And we think they're evil and horrible. And yet we turn right around and give no heed to the horrible nature of abortion. Where's our clear thinking? Where is our consistency? Do we not realize, David, as we talked about earlier, that there is a baby that is aborted every 21 seconds?
In this United States of America.
Tell us, David, about the amount. You were telling me a while ago about if you put babies end to end. Tell me about that.
When we look and the figures, by the way, the number to call if you want to get in on the discussion and give us your comments or ask a question or disagree with us if you want to. We don't care. Just call in if you like. The number is 254-445-2473. We're just speaking where the Bible speaks. Well, I did a little figuring, and on 50 million. Now, we can't get our mind wrapped around 50 million, so I did a little figuring on 50 million. And if you consider these children, these persons who are being aborted, somewhere between 6 and 8 inches long, you can lay them head to foot from here to Alaska on the highway, and turn around coming back from Alaska and lay them head to foot all the way back on that road from here to Alaska and back, and still have enough aborted babies to stretch from here to Wyoming head to toe. That's how many babies that we have killed in this land. That is how much innocent blood that we have shed. Now, you ask a very interesting question. How long is God going to tolerate this? Do you know that the Bible teaches us in 2 Kings chapter 21, dealing with one of the worst kings ever, that was the king of Judah, a fellow by the name of Manasseh. And God told Manasseh in 2 Kings chapter 21 and verse 15 that he was going to send them. He was going to send them into captivity. They were no longer going to be his people, just like he threatened there and with Hosea. I have a controversy with the people of this land. And now in verse 15, he tells us what the controversy is all about, or part of the controversy. He says, because they have done that which was evil in my sight, and they have provoked me to anger since the day their fathers came forth out of Egypt, even unto this day. Moreover, Manasseh shed innocent blood very much till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another. Now, my question to you, Tommy, is this. How much blood does it take to fill Jerusalem from one end to another?
I wonder how much blood it takes to fill Washington, D.C. from one end to another. Wouldn't that be a proper parallel to what's going on in our world today?
Absolutely, it would be. Absolutely. That's where the laws are coming from, is Washington, D.C. And I just wonder, if you took all of those 50 million babies, would you have enough blood then to fill the streets of Jerusalem? And I think you would.
Horrible thought.
It is a horrible thought. But there's one more thing about this. He says, beside his sin, wherewith he made Judah to sin, in doing that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. As a leader of that country, Judah, he was responsible in a person of leadership, in a place of leadership, in a place of a lawmaker, making laws that would cause other people to sin, usurping the authority of God, usurping the word of God with his own laws, and causing other people to sin. Is that not descriptive of what we have right here in this United States of America today?
Exactly right. And you know, David, the family structure in America is rapidly deteriorating.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it is because of the political laws that are being set forth.
Right.
Abortion, infanticide, euthanasia, artificial insemination, test tube babies, single parenthood, the gay right movement, radical women's liberation movement are all anti-family. And friends, unless we wake up, America is doomed to go the way of other civilizations who have lost their respect for the sanctity of life, where it is clearly understood that man is not a machine. It is not someone randomly chosen to die or to live, but every one of us is created in the image of God. Every one of us is special. Every one of us is important. Every one of us is a living soul. That means the child in the womb. It means a 90-year-old person with Alzheimer's. It means the child who is mentally handicapped. It means the man who is physically handicapped. Every man is precious in the sight of God. And who are we to decide that we can take the life of a child from the womb of a mother and murder it?
Well, you see, I believe this Gosnell fella is just one of many around the country that is now being exposed. You talked about a wake-up call. Is this not a wake-up call for anybody? Can anybody not understand how gruesome this entire act is, this abortion, whether it's an early abortion or whether it's a late abortion, what matter is it? You see, because we are made in the image of God, we have worth. That's what gives us worth. That's what gives us sanctity of life. And whether we are healthy or whether we're sick, whether we're young, whether we're old, it doesn't make any difference what you look like. It doesn't make any difference whether you are handicapped. You are a creation of God, and that is what gives you worth, not your location in the womb, mm-hmm. or not your location in relationship to the womb. That's not what gives you worth. You see, you're worth so much, and I am worth so much, and our listeners are worth so much, that God gave His only begotten Son. That is the measure of worth for every living soul in the world, not just the United States of America. And even if your mother didn't want you, God still wants you.
That's right.
And He still believes that you're precious and you're valuable, and that is Him saying, I want you and I love you. And the fact that we are the offspring of God, and that's what we are told in Acts chapter 17 and verse 28, that we, as human beings, as persons, we are the offspring of God. And Tommy, that gives us the right to live.
That's why, David, God has a controversy with us. He has a controversy with our land because blood is indeed touching blood.
Mm-hmm.
Things are getting worse and worse and worse. And David, where will it all end? Where will it end? If we start saying that a child in the womb is of no significance, we start allowing partial birth abortions, we start pulling out babies and killing them then, we start chopping off their feet and putting them as trophies on our mantle, where will it end? What's the next step?
Well, the ironic thing about this whole thing, and you and I talked about this just a little bit before, it wasn't necessarily the killing of those babies that killed all of those people that turned him in. It was what he was doing with those babies after he killed them. That's what got him in trouble. And I was told by a student that was a student in a law class at Baylor University, and the professor of that law class, this was about the time of the Sharon Tate murders, where he ripped open the belly of Sharon Tate and removed her unborn child and did some horrible things to some other people that he had killed there. And he told that bunch, as prosecuting lawyers, he says, it's not so much the killing of people that bothers our society. It's what they do with those people after they have killed them that really bothers them. And I'm afraid that it wasn't the killing of those innocent human beings that caused the outrage with Kermit Gosnell. It was what they did with those little babies after they were killed that caused the outrage. And that is the pitiful argument about this whole situation. We've got to get to the point where the sanctity of life means something to this United States of America again.
You know, and you're right with that, David, because as we mentioned earlier, the Pennsylvania Department of Health knew this was going on. The Pennsylvania Department of State knew this was going on. The public health officials knew it was going on. Local hospitals knew it was going on. The National Abortion Federation knew it was going on, and they ignored it. That tells you what you were just saying, David, is mm-hmm. true, that they're not really concerned about the abortion until it becomes grotesque. But you know what, David? I think it's grotesque way before then.
Sure.
It's grotesque when a doctor will stick in an instrument in the womb and snip the spinal cord inside there. Have you ever seen the movie or the documentary called The Silent Cry? It's about, they take a picture of an abortion going on. And as a doctor is putting in his instrument to kill the child is backing up, backing away from the instrument, and about the time he is about to snip the spinal cord, you can see the child open up, and it's like he's hollering and crying in fear. It's a horrible thing.
Well, the bottom line is this. Abortion is not about the concern of women. It's about hedonism. It's about being free of the consequences of illicit sex. It's about being free from anything that hinders what we want. And the real bottom line is this, Tom. Whether or not we're going to be God, or whether we're going to allow God to be the God and the creator and the giver of life.
That's right. And one of the things that we can do as we're drawing to a close here is at election time,
mm-hmm.
you make sure that you're voting for a man who's morally correct and who's going to fight against and who will very clearly say that he is opposed to things, moral issues like abortion and homosexuality.
Well, we just had our wake-up call with Kermit Gosnell. And we want to thank the listening audience tonight. We want to thank our callers. And we want to leave you with this thought. God bless America.
Kate.